Amen. Well, it is great to see all of you here. I'm glad that you chose today to come and be in God's house to join and worship with us. I pray that God speaks to your heart, that God feeds you from his word today. I have a little bit of a different type message today, different for me and just some weeks ago, maybe a month and a half, 2 months ago, I was actually reading a story, a fiction story, just for fun, you know, enjoyment, giving my mind a break. And anyways, I was reading a story, and there was, in this story, the character was talking about how they had come to the place that they realized how important today was. And just that comment kind of stuck in my mind, and I began to muse upon that and apply it spiritually. And I just began to think, and a sermon began to grow in my heart. And I would like you today to turn to Psalms 118. Familiar passage of Scripture, this psalm is. And especially the verse that we're going to read as our text. But I don't really have any points today. I don't have an outline for you, which is a little bit different for me. I just kind of began to jot down some thoughts and ideas that kind of were stirred in my heart as I pondered and thought about this. And I hope to stir your mind in the direction that mine has gone and maybe remind us of this important truth. In Psalms 118, verse number 24, our text verse says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Would you read it aloud with me? "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Let's pray. Lord, I come to you right now, and you know my heart's desire. You know the burden of the message that is present, how important I believe it is for the lives of your people, for all of us, to realize this truth and to live each day with its truth resounding in our hearts and minds. And I pray, God, that you would draw us into your presence. And Lord, I can't minister to every person here, but you can. These are your people. They've gathered in your house today. They've taken of their time and energy, and they could be doing anything else, but they've chose to get out of bed and to get dressed and to come to your house today to spend a few minutes around your word. And I pray, God, that you would reward them by speaking to their heart, that they would feel and know your presence, that you would do something real and powerful in our midst today that only you can do. It's never about an outline. It's about being in line with you. And I pray, God, that you would just use these thoughts. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you about the idea of this important day. Not this day specifically, but yes, today. For every day that we get to live is a gift from God. We enter that day, and each one holds for us the promise of all the wonders of heaven. It holds for us all that our God could possibly do. We know that yesterday is gone and tomorrow is not here yet. So we should live today with the anticipation that this is the day that God hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Many go through their days, day by day, kind of with the drone of life humming on, you know, just the humdrum, just it's just the process of life. It's, oh well, I'm just getting through today. Often looking forward to those special days or looking forward to that planned event or those momentous occasions. And everything else is just enduring. In fact, a study done some years ago bore out that 97% of people are enduring today, waiting for tomorrow. That tells me that this is a real problem. I was listening to this message and challenged with the idea that we know in our hearts and minds, we know it to be true, but we actually do live each day many times just getting through it. Just getting through today. You've got to live today for what life holds up for you. We need to get to the place where we see and value each and every day as a gift from God. Beloved, we know that we can't boast of tomorrow. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I don't know if I have tomorrow, but I do have today. That's something that I know I have today. I have right now. I can seize this moment. I can't know what will happen on my tomorrows, but I have now. I could spend today and worry about tomorrow, but that won't do any good. Robert Jones Verdett said, "There are 2 days in a week about which and upon which I never worry, yesterday and tomorrow." So how about we just live today, all of today, like it really matters? Like today can be that exciting day. Like today can be that day in which God brings great victory in our lives. We spend so much of our life waiting for the next big thing to happen. And while we're waiting for that to happen, our life is passing us by. I believe it was Eleanor Roosevelt that said, "Tomorrow is a mystery, today is a gift. That's why it's called the present." You know, Mary and I have been married for a short 25 years. And I don't know if the Lord will give us 30 years. I don't know if the Lord will give us 40 years or if we'll get to celebrate that golden anniversary. I don't know that if that's going to happen, but I know that she's with me today. I know that I have her today, and I can put my arm around her today, and I can show her love today, and I can show her compassion and concern today, and I can enjoy her company today because she's here today. I don't know if I'll have her tomorrow, but I have her today. Beloved, we have got to stop living in yesterday and living in tomorrow and realize that this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Live today to its fullest. Seize the opportunities to make it something special. Don't just drone through life. Just don't endure and get by day, waiting for something momentous to happen down the road. Let God do something momentous today. I thank God for my kids. We were just talking last night in our family devotions. Lisa's gone. Andrew's gone. Next year, Timothy's gone. 1 year, and he's gone too. We're like, oh my goodness. And then we get 1 year break, and then that year Melissa's gone. Thinking, man, it's coming too quick. Slow down. Let's stop. Man, I don't know if I'll get to see Melissa walk down the aisle and get married. Oh, I hope to one day. She might be taken home. I might be taken home to glory. She might not find a guy tough enough to marry her. I don't know. I might not get to walk her down the aisle. I hope to one day. But I don't know if I'll get to enjoy that day or not. But I know that she's here today. And today I can sit and listen to her play the piano. Today I can watch her play soccer with the boys outside. Today I can have her company with me and enjoy time together because she's here today. And as we were sitting last night and pondering and thinking about how quickly the time is going to come where she's not in the home, boy, evermore is it on my mind to seize the day and enjoy the time that they're present, that they're here, because it won't be long and their stage of life is going to be on with them and they will be gone. I don't know, beloved, if I'll have next Sunday to be in church. But I have today that I can be in church. Praise God, all of you are in church. You know, we don't know. We can't say, oh, well, I'll just go to church next week. Because we don't know if we'll have next week. But we can go to church today and seize today and be what God wants us to be today. I might not have next week or next year to serve my Lord, but I have today to serve Him. You can't say, oh, well, I'll help out the next roundup. You don't know if you'll have the next roundup to help out. Oh, I'll do something the next time we... No, we don't know if we have that, but we can seize today. It's mind-boggling to me. Sometimes people say, oh, no, Pastor, I'm not going to be there for this, or I'm not going to be there for that. And I say, oh, where are you going to be? Oh, well, I just had a long week. I'm just going to stay home. You're going to lose the benefits and all that you receive from being with brothers and sisters in Christ and engaging and doing something spiritual and something that lasts for eternity, to spend another night sitting on your couch? How much of our life is wasted away because we're not seizing the day? Boy, the enemy of God declares he stands against God today. In 1 Samuel 17, verse number 10, and the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. You know, Goliath stood up, and day after day he stood up and he said, today I defy your God. Today I declare war on you. Today I say you are nothing. Give me a man that will stand up and fight me. He would come out day after day and do that. And all of the armies there, Saul's army, would sit around with their knees knocking. But David came on the scene. David came on the scene and he says in verse number 46, 1 Samuel 17, 46, he says, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and will give the carcass of the host to the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. He says, we're done listening to you. We're done letting you win. We're done letting you defy the God of Israel. This day, I'm servant notice on you there, Goliath. This day, your rant is done. Your time is over. And we need some Christians that will stand up and look Satan in the face and say, this day, you're not having victory in my life. This day, I'm serving notice on you, Satan. You're done declaring victory in my life. Now, I don't know about tomorrow. I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. But I know about today. And at least today, I can say, with the power of God and His might, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to be victorious today. Maybe you fell yesterday. Don't worry about yesterday. Yesterday is gone. But you can stand today because today is a new day. It's a day the Lord hath made. And I will rejoice and be glad in it. You can be victorious today. You say, oh, I want to be a victorious Christian all the days of my life. Well, praise God. But don't worry about tomorrow or next week or next year. Just worry about today. I can be victorious. I just gotta make it today. I just gotta be victorious today. This day. Paul understood it when he said, I die daily. Paul didn't say, oh, I die to myself. I did that once many years ago, and I've just been doing good ever since. No, Paul understood that daily he needed to die, that daily he needed to pick up his cross and follow Christ. Daily he needed to re-engage with his Lord and Master. I might not be able to witness to that cashier tomorrow, but I can do it today. I might not be able to tell my brother or sister about the love of Jesus tomorrow, but I can tell them today. I've said it often as I've preached from this pulpit that the way to be in God's will 5 years from now is to be in God's will today. And then tomorrow, you get up and you get in God's will. Too many times we look way down the road and say, oh, I want to know God's will for my life. Where am I going to be when I'm Bob's age? I was looking around for who to make fun of here. Where am I going to be? Listen, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You just need to know where you are today. You know what? Today, God's will is for you to be in church. Praise God, you're in church. You're doing what God wants you to do today. And you say, well, I, Pastor, I messed up last week. I didn't make it. Well, listen, last week is gone. Right. Stop letting Satan throw that up in your face. You just look at today and claim today for God. You're never going to be able to carry the load you're supposed to carry today if you bring yesterday's burdens into today's battles. If you pull tomorrow's heartaches into today's hardships, you'll not be successful today. But we need to be successful today. Matthew 6:34 says, take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Listen, what's going to happen tomorrow is going to happen. But it's not doing us any good to worry about it. It's not doing us any good to carry tomorrow's burdens. We need to just be victorious today. Some of you have reached a point in your life where if God allows you to live a normal life, that you probably have more days behind you than you have in front of you. And sometimes the tendency is to live in yesterday. But you're not dead yet. Don't live on yesterday. Don't live in yesterday's glory. Oh, the way things used to be. The way things were. Boy, I remember back in the day. Boy, I used to do this, and I used to do that, and I did this, and I did that. But what are you doing today? You're not gone. You're still living. You still got a day to do something for God. Now, there's nothing wrong with reminiscing and rejoicing over past victories and what God has done, but don't live in yesterday. Live today. Don't live in yesterday's grief either. I know heartache has struck us all. Sometimes the burdens are heavy. Sometimes the grief is great. But you've got to, with God's power, let it go. Because you have a new day. You have a new day to live. To go on and do what God wants you to do. Robert Moffat said, "We'll have all eternity in which to celebrate our victories, but only one short hour before sunset to win them." He's saying, don't live in yesterday's glory. Don't live in yesterday's grief. We need to forget those things which are behind and press towards the mark, the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. Listen, you get out of bed when a new dawn breaks, or when a new noon breaks, whenever you get out of bed, only the younger generation got that one. Whenever you get out of bed and set your feet on the ground at the start of a new day, you've got a new day for God. This is the day the Lord hath made. We need to let go of yesterday and don't worry about tomorrow and live today. Ellen Wilcox wrote this, "With every rising of the sun, think of your life as having just begun. The past has shriveled and buried deep. All yesterday, let it sleep. Nor seek to summon back one ghost of that innumerable host. Concern yourself with but today. Woo it, teach it, and obey. Your wish and will since time began, today has been the friend of man. But in his blindness and in his sorrow, he looks to yesterday and to tomorrow." Instead of living today. Beloved, put your feet on the ground and start a new day. This is the day the Lord hath made. Every day we live has potential to be a powerful day, a day in which God does a miraculous thing in our life. But too many of them, we're letting them just flow by. We're not seizing the day because we're looking ahead to the next thing. When you start your day with God. Spend enough time with God to get direction for your day, to get power for your day. In Exodus, God told his people, he says, "And thou shalt offer every day a bullock for sin offering for an atonement." Every day. Confess. Maybe you failed yesterday. Just confess that. Say, "Lord, forgive me. I messed up yesterday. But today's a new day. Today is a new day. There's not any marks on today. There's no failure on today yet. Lord, give me victory today." Every day, God told the children of Israel to go out and to gather what they needed for that day's food. Well, beloved, every day we need to get into the Word of Life, into that bread of life, and get what we need for that day. As you start your day, ask God to help you to accomplish what His will is for you for that day. Beloved, His mercies are renewed every day. They're renewed every day. So you messed up yesterday. That's okay. You were unkind yesterday. That's okay. Ask her to forgive you. Ask Him to forgive you. And live a new day. You know, beloved, it doesn't matter if you're 15, 58, or 85. Every one of us have 24 hours in a day. Nobody has any more time than anybody else. Doesn't matter how nice of a watch you got on, you still have the same amount of time as I do. It's amazing. I mean, you have today to live. And you have as much time today to live as I do. Brother Ayler, you got as much time today as I do. We got the same amount of time today. You and I both have the same amount of time as Eli does. And as Doug, what are we going to do with that time? The day that God has given us. The 24 hours. Oh, if we could approach every day with an anticipation of the miraculous. Beloved, let's stop living for tomorrow or next year or that next big event. You know what I'm talking about. It's, boy, I can't wait till I'm a teenager. And I can't wait till I graduate. And boy, I can't wait till I get my license. And oh, man, I can't wait till I get in college or get out of college. Boy, I want to get a good job. Oh, if I could just get married. Oh, if I could have kids. Oh, if my kids could get in school and give me some peace and quiet. Oh, if my kids would get out of school and go to college. Oh, college is so expensive. I can't wait till this stage is done. Oh, if I could just retire. Well, you were waiting for all these things to happen. Your life passed you by. You understand, beloved? Life is lived today. It's lived in the today. The only time to do something significant is the time between yesterday and tomorrow. Zig Ziglar said that. Now, beloved, as we close this, I kind of just kicked around from a lot of angles. The idea of valuing today and realizing every day can be a momentous day. Every day can be. And we're missing out by letting so many of them pass, waiting for the next thing. But as we close, I want to speak for just a minute. Maybe draw our attention to the significance of this weekend. I know that everyone here this weekend has been on your mind. What happened on 9/11? Well, when my daughter, Alicia, was just 8 months old, the greatest terrorist attack in history took place here on American soil. When terrorists took those planes and flew them into the World Trade Centers. Sadly, they were successful. They flew a plane into the Pentagon, and because of the courage of some men that knew it would probably cost them their lives, one plane was crashed into the ground in Shanksville, PA. The black box was found 25 feet below the surface as a plane hit the ground at 580 miles an hour. You know what, beloved? No one woke up on that morning and realized the significance of that day. Now it's been 20 years ago. And if you're like me, you can remember exactly where you were on that day. What you were doing when you saw those news cameras and the towers burning. As we close, can I tie it together by maybe sharing a story of Robert Matthews? Robert Matthews from Norfolk, Virginia. He called into a radio station and told this story about September 11th. It was a few weeks before September 11th that my wife had found out we were going to have our first child. She planned a trip to California to visit her sister. On our way to the airport, we prayed that God would grant my wife a safe trip as she went. Shortly after we said amen, both of us heard a loud pop and the car shook violently. We realized we had blown a tire. I, as quickly as I could, replaced the tire, but we still missed her flight. We were both very upset as we drove home. I received a call from my father, who was a retired New York firefighter. He asked what my wife's flight number was. But we explained that this is her flight number, but she missed her flight because of a flat tire. My father informed me that her flight was the one that crashed into the Southern Tower. I was too shocked to speak. My father also had more news for me. He was going to help. Although he was retired, he said, "This is not something that I can just sit by and do nothing. I have to be involved." I certainly was concerned for his safety, of course, but more because my father had never given his life to Christ. After a brief debate, however, his mind was made up. Before he got off the phone, he said, "Take care of my grandchildren." Those were the last words I ever heard my father say. He died while helping in the rescue effort. My joy of that prayer for the safety for my wife had been answered, and then had become anger, anger at God because my father was gone. I blamed God for nearly 2 years for taking my father away on that day. My son would never know his grandfather. My father had never accepted Christ, and I never got to say goodbye. Then the unimaginable happened. It was about 2 months ago, and I was sitting at home with my wife and my son when there was a knock on our door. I looked at my wife, but I could tell she wasn't expecting anyone. I opened the door to a couple that stood there with a small child in their arms. The man looked at me and he asked if my father's name was Jake Matthews. I told him it was, and he quickly grabbed my hand and he said, "I never had a chance to meet your father, but it is my honor to meet his son." He explained to me that his wife had worked in the World Trade Centers and was caught inside after the attack. She was pregnant, expecting the son that I now hold in my arms. She was trapped under the derbs. He explained that it was my father that had been the one to find his wife there and free her. My eyes welled up with tears as I thought of my father giving his life for this family. He then said, "There's something else that you need to know. My wife and I are Christians." And as your father worked to free my wife worked to tell him about Christ. And your father trusted Christ as his Savior that day. It was then I began to sob. Now I know that when I get to heaven, my father will be standing beside Jesus and welcome me there, and that this family will be able to thank him themselves. When their baby was born, they named him Jacob Matthew in honor of the man that saved his life. Beloved, we don't know about tomorrow. But we know we have today. We have today. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.